Turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, we continue, of course, our study, Paul's letter to the believers, to the church at Ephesus. We have seen so much already in this letter because it's powerful and practical. It's powerful because Paul reveals to us who we are in Jesus Christ, but then it's practical because we are instructed on how to live as those who are believers. Last week we saw, I think, one of the greatest passages of the Bible. For 2 weeks in a row we went Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and then last week we came back and looked at 8, 9, and 10. Very powerful because in that passage it says, salvation is simply by grace through faith. It's the gift that God has given us. It goes on to say that since we are believers, since we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, we are to do good works. So it's powerful. Well, this evening, we are reminded of the great biblical truth of reconciliation. Reconciliation is really the story of the Bible. I'll say it later on, but the story of the Bible is how the perfect God brings sinful man back to Himself using His Son, Jesus Christ. That's reconciliation. We're going to talk about it tonight as He talks about the Gentiles who were far away and the Jews who were far away. They've been brought together and then brought to God through Jesus Christ. It's real powerful, and we'll see that. Do you see in this passage the good news of Jews and Gentiles together? In fact, verse 18 of the passage says, for through Him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access in one spirit to the Father. It's powerful. Simply put, reconciliation is God brings Jews and Gentiles together and then brings believers to Himself. But as we look at this passage tonight, there's some issues we want to look at. In 2:11 through 18, here's some issues. In what way are Jews and Gentiles different? What is reconciliation? How did God reconcile Jews and Gentiles together? And how did God reconcile all believers to Himself? All that ties together as we look at our passage tonight. There's some great things. Let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for the privilege of coming together with fellow believers to worship Jesus Christ. And Lord, we have not come just to have a service. We've not come just to be together as friends. We have come together as a group of believers, different and yet unified in one central purpose, and that is to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You that we who were dead in trespasses and sins, You have made us alive. You've brought us together. You've put us in one body, which is the body of Christ, the church. And we have the privilege of coming together, worshiping You, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. So, Lord, thank You for tonight. Lord, we ask You that as we look at the passage, we'll understand this whole idea of reconciliation and Jews and Gentiles and how it all fits together. Thank You that it's all possible only through Jesus Christ, that You have reconciled mankind to Yourself using Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for that. We ask You, Lord, You would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you imagine what it had been like to be with Jesus and the 12 disciples? I mean, you think about it. A lot of times when I study the Bible, I tell you that, especially if it's narrative, I study it as if I'm there. Like even this morning, we were up in that cave there with David and seeing all that stuff and everything. And so what it would have been like to be with Jesus and think about that 3.5-year time period, basically three and a half years that He had His ministry. And when people think about, they were just all buddies hanging around together. Well, that's not exactly the way it was. I mean, have you ever thought about how different they were? Some were older and some were younger. I mean, most likely, Peter was probably younger, but some older, but some were very young. John probably was the youngest one. And then you think that most of them were from Galilee, but some were from, the four brothers were fishermen, but some were from Judea, at least Judas was. And some were totally anti-Roman, Simon the Zealot, but some worked for the Roman government, Matthew the tax collector. So imagine those two guys being friends, totally opposite. But Jesus was able to take that group and bring them together in unity. Various backgrounds, yet unity in Christ. Well, the same is true even today. For those of us who trust in Jesus Christ, His Savior, which is called the church, the body of Christ, we all come together in one body. We're all kind of different. And we're not even talking about differences of Jew and Gentile, which He's going to talk about in this passage. But the fact that we're all different. There's students and professors. Some live in the town. Some live in the country. Some own businesses. Some are married with children. Some are single. Some are from Oklahoma. Some are from all over. I mean, you think about it. We're all brought together. All different backgrounds, abilities, and yet one in the body of Christ. We've been brought together by Jesus Christ to serve and, Lord willing, to help change this world. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to see this great truth of reconciliation, God bringing people together to one another and also to Christ Himself and to God Himself through Christ. In this passage, God shows how He's brought Jews and Gentiles together, reconciling them and then to Himself. As we begin, there's several things I want you to see, four big things. Number one, we're going to raise the question, what is reconciliation? Number two, we're going to talk about the background of the Jews and Gentiles. How were they? Number three, we're going to talk about the reconciliation of Jew and Gentiles. We'll just touch on it, and then we'll go through it as the passage. And then we'll talk about reconciliation of man to God. Once again, we'll just touch on that, and we'll go through it in the passage. So here's the first question, and that is, what is reconciliation? Reconciliation literally is being brought back or being brought together. It's when two parties who were separated now have been brought back together. The story of the Bible, as I mentioned a while ago, is the reconciliation of man back to God. It's the perfect God bringing sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. That is the story of the Bible. In fact, the key issue of the Bible, when people talk about salvation, salvation is a specific term. Reconciliation is the big term. Reconciliation is the story of the Bible. There's a number of salvations. There's salvation, justification. There's the whole idea of sanctification, salvation. There's even glorification, salvation. So when people say salvation is the story of the Bible, that's not exactly correct. Because you could ask them, which salvation are you talking about? Because there's salvation from the guilt and penalty of sin. There's salvation from the presence of sin. There's salvation from the power of sin. All of that fits together. So reconciliation is really the story of the Bible, how God brings sinful man back to himself. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it talks about as God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5, he says he's given to us the word of reconciliation, which is the message. So the truth is that we, this whole idea of reconciliation, God bringing man back to himself, we as believers get to tell other people about it. Because the truth is, all of sin and come short of the glory of God, we're going to be separated from God forever. And so God's reconciliation plan is to bring man back to himself. The second big question is that we want to talk about the background of Jews and Gentiles. Not only both Jews and Gentiles were separated from God, but they were separated from each other. You know, if you go back in the Bible and you think from the very beginning, there was Adam and Eve, and that was a people group. And then suddenly, not suddenly, but over a period of years, then at a point in time, God chose a man. His name was Abram. Lived in the Ur of the Chaldees, southern part of Iraq, told him to leave there and go to a land that he was going to show him and to give him. And he made that covenant with him, the land, the seed, the blessings. We've talked about that a number of times. And when he chose this man named Abram, or later as we know him as Abraham, he became the head of a people group that God set apart. We call that people group the Jews. And so then from that point on, there are two people groups in the world, Jews and Gentiles. The Jewish people, descendants of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob. That's very important to understand. It's not just any descendant of Abraham is Jewish. It's descendants of Abraham through Isaac and through Jacob. That's the Jewish people. Any other people who are not descendants of Abraham to Isaac to Jacob are called Gentiles, which is ethnos is the Greek word. It means the nations, the people group. And so there are two groups of people basically in the world, if you look in the Bible, that he would say there are Jews and Gentiles. We talk about the Jewish people who are chosen by God, his people. And yet, even though they were chosen by God as his people, they still needed to be reconciled to God because everybody sinned, including every Jewish person, and they've all sinned and need a Savior. We know that God had worked something special. We'll talk about it in more detail in the passage. But by the time we get to now, God actually said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Jews and Gentiles. And when they believe in Christ, I'm going to bring them together into one body, which is called the church. And so now, technically speaking, when you see the world, there are Jewish people, there are Gentile people, and there is the church. And the church is made up of Jews and Gentiles in one body. You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians where he says, give no offense to the Jew, the Gentile, or the church of God. So he calls that there are three distinct people. Jews and Gentiles always, historically, were separate. We'll talk more about it in a minute. The third question is the reconciliation of the Jew and the Gentile, because in this passage we're going to see that. But throughout the history, Jews and Gentiles basically struggled with one another. If you talk to a Jewish person, he would call a Gentile a dog, because they said they're not like us because we're God's chosen people and they're not. Gentiles didn't like the Jewish people a whole lot either. So it didn't go so well in that sense. And then the last big thing that we're going to see, we'll see that number three as we go through the passage, but the last thing is the reconciliation of believers to God. And that all comes through Jesus Christ. In fact, verse 16 of Ephesians 2 says that he would reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, into one body, the church, having do this to God through the cross. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ. What he did for us brings us together. That's why I love verse 18 in the passage. It says, for through him, Jesus, we both have access, both Jew and Gentile, have access in one spirit to the Father. So We'll see those details as we go through the passage. Let me break down the passage for you. I'm going to go very quickly through this. I think, don't we have an outline? We do have the outline. Here's the outline. Verses 11 and 12 in the passage deal with the past. He talks about the Gentiles who were separated from both God and the Jews. I mean, his point is this, is you Gentiles, you weren't even connected with God. You weren't even connected with the Jews. And he's going to talk about that. Then he's going to talk about how God reconciled. Now, this statement, most likely in the flow of the passage, is talking about how God reconciled the Gentiles because he's writing to the church at Ephesus. Most of the believers in Ephesus were Gentiles. You could take this verse, and we'll talk about it when we get to it. It could be also a general statement of how God has reconciled mankind. Then in verses 14 and 15, he talks about bringing the Jew and the Gentile together. And then in verses 16 through 18, he talks about how he brought them both to himself through Christ. It's a very powerful passage. Well, let's begin because he's dealing with the Gentiles. Probably most of us in this room are Gentiles, and maybe some people in here who are Jewish. You have a Jewish background, or maybe someone in your family is Jewish, or you'd say, well, I'm Jewish. A lot of people are confused about Jewish people, but the true Jewish person, I'm talking about in a physical realm, is the descendant of Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. That's a Jewish person. There are some people who say, well, I'm Jewish in my religion. I'm a Gentile as a human being, but I've decided to follow Judaism. That's a little bit different. There were people in the Old Testament, there were Gentiles in the Old Testament that came under the God of Israel. But it wasn't following just Judaism. It was believing in the God of Israel and the Messiah of Israel. There are people today who say, I'm Jewish, but they're not believing in the Messiah of Israel. The Messiah of Israel is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. There is a difference. So if you've got questions, we can talk about that later. Well, let's see what he's talking about the Gentiles. And he says they are separated not only from God, but from God's people. Look what he says, verse 11. Therefore, talking to Gentiles, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Now, he starts off by saying, just remember who you were. Now, he hadn't got to what he wants to remember yet. That's the next verse. You know how Paul is. Sometimes he'll say, now, remember this, and then he starts talking about something else, and then he comes back and says, oh, yeah, now remember what I was going to tell you. We won't see the remember until you start verse 12. So he says, remember that you formerly, the Gentiles in the flesh. Now he's talking about how they are physically. And he's showing a contrast between Jew and Gentile. And he's using the description. And he calls the Gentiles the uncircumcised or the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. Jewish people are called the circumcised. And the Gentiles were called the uncircumcised. One of the signs of the covenant that God made with Abraham on down to Moses and everything was the circumcision of the male. That was the sign of the covenant that God made with Israel. So the Jewish people call themselves the circumcised. They call the Gentiles the uncircumcised. In fact, a Jewish person, if he called a Gentile uncircumcised, which they were, he would make that as almost a despairing remark. He said, oh, they're the uncircumcised Gentiles. He says, remember that you formerly in the flesh, you were called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. So Paul was making it clear that this is a physical thing here. This has nothing to do with salvation. Just because a Jewish person was born, was circumcised on the eighth day, and was an Israelite did not save them. Now, then he goes, and just think about it now. I've already said a while ago there was Adam and Eve, and here's this physical sign, Adam and Eve, and then you come up to the Jewish people, and that set them apart, and they were set apart. And you know, the Jewish people from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, down to Judah, down to Moses, the law, all of these things set them apart. And you realize that from Abraham to Moses, that's about 500 years, Jewish people were Jewish people. They didn't have the law. You know, everybody says, Jewish people, Mosaic law. They went 500 years without having a law. And then they went 1,500 years and the law is over. And people get confused on that one. And so when you think of Jewish people, the law is a key, but the law was only after they had existed as a people group for 500 years. We'll see more about that as we go through it. He says, verse 11 again, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you. Now in verse 12, he's going to name five things that were true about the Gentiles. Here's what they are. Here's the first one. Five things. First of all, they were separate from Christ. Notice what he says. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. Now, he's writing this to believers, and he can't say you are separate from Christ because these people have believed in Jesus Christ. But he says, remember, at that time, you were separate from Christ. Literally, in the Greek, it says without Christ. They had no Messiah. They didn't even understand the truth of a Messiah. If you look at the time of David, what we're studying, of course, in Sunday morning, and you see the Philistines and the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they've got gods like Molech and Dagon. They're not understanding a true God and a Messiah and a Savior. They're looking at some God that they're taking their children and burning their children up as an offering to some God. They've got Dagon, half man, half fish. They got him setting up, and he keeps falling over on his face. That's what they looked at. He said, you were without Christ. He said, that's what you did. You didn't have it. Yeah, how would you like to pick your God up every day? Oh, boy, this is tough. He keeps falling over. He's getting heavier. There's a second thing. Excluded from the nation of Israel. He says, you were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, not a part of God's people. Now, Gentiles weren't a part of God's people. That being called God's people didn't save them. I want you to understand that. They're saved by faith in the Messiah. They're God's people in the fact that they were descendants of Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. He said, you weren't a part of that. Without trusting the Messiah, they would never be what we might call God's people, God's children, which is a little bit different. There's a third thing. They are strangers to the covenants of promise. It says, strangers to the covenants of promise. The covenants, without coming to the Messiah, the covenants and the blessings of the covenants have no effect for them. You understand something, and we talked about it, I think, on Sunday morning, that God made covenants with the nation of Israel, and he made five covenants. He made four unconditional covenants and one conditional covenant. And the key thing about the unconditional covenants was he told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 that in you, Abraham, all the nations, Gentiles, all the nations of the world will be blessed. The only way that a Gentile can be blessed through Abraham and the covenants is they believe in the Messiah. Because the Messiah is the Savior of the world, and the Messiah gives the blessing of the covenants by faith. And so that's the key. And he says, you weren't a part of that. You are strangers to the covenants of promise. But there's more. Having no hope. Having no hope. And when he talks about hope here, he's talking about the hope of eternal life, the hope of being with God. There is a hopelessness. I don't know about you. Have you ever had some periods of time in your life where when you'd wake up in the morning, you just didn't see any hope? That's a terrible place to be in, because when you wake up, you don't even have a reason to get up and you don't want to go on. And in this way, he's talking about no hope of life, no hope of eternal life. See, people come into the world dead in trespasses and sins, and if something's not done, they'll be separated from God forever. And he's saying to these Gentiles, saying, you had no hope. Because you could say, well, look, I'm trying the best I can, trying to get it. I've done good works. Good works are filthy rags. Yeah, but I've tried to live right. Living right, you don't measure up to the perfection. There's no hope. Without our Savior, there is no hope. And then last but not least, he says, and without God in the world. Without God. See, as Gentiles, they didn't worship the true God. They didn't look at the true God. As I said a while ago, they looked at gods and goddesses. And if you go in the Roman world or the Greek world, they had gods for everything. In fact, sometimes they say that in Corinth, there were over at least 1,000 gods. Almost every home had their own personal god for their own protection. They had an idol. They'd have it out by their home, and they'd say, this will protect my home from this. If you remember when Paul was in Corinth, and he was walking around, and they had an idol there, and it was the idol was to the what? Anybody remember? To the unknown God. You know why they put that there? They were afraid they'd leave out a God and he'd get mad at them. So they made an idol that says, look, we can't know every God. We just don't want to offend you. So we're going to make an idol to the unknown God just in case you're God and we don't name you. You won't get mad at us. And you know what Paul did when he came in there? He said, by the way, I know who that unknown God is. He's the true God. You dismissed him. I read this story the other day. Susie and I talked about this once. It says atheists complained to a friend because Christians had their special holidays. This atheist said, we don't have holidays. Y'all got Christmas, you got Easter. Even the Jewish people celebrate holidays such as Passover and Yom Kippur. But we're atheists. We don't have a holiday. And the friend said, well, yeah, you do. You can celebrate April 1st. That's April Fool's Day because the fool has said in his heart there is no God. He said, you're separated from Christ. You're excluded from the nation of Israel. You're strangers to the covenant of promise. You're having no hope. And the last thing, I don't know if they were without God. Literally, they were godless, without God in the world. Without Christ, separated from God's people, no relationship to the covenant, no hope. They were godless. In fact, some would say they're Christless, stateless, covenantless, hopeless, godless. But I'm glad there's a but. I'm glad there's a contrast. Because see, you remember in the Bible it says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now God has raised us up. Got to have that but. Look what he says. You were this. You were this. You were this, but now. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, I think in the flow of the passage, he's talking to Gentiles. He's not talking even to Jews here because he's going to talk about it in a second. But we could take this as a statement that is true for any human being, whether a Jew or Gentile, and it is this. Listen carefully. But now, we could say, but now we, in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, because we believed in Jesus, you, us, we were formerly far off, separated from God. We've been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. That's the way we are saved. We are saved through Jesus Christ. He is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. The Greek word there, propitiation, the idea there is he is the payment that pays that penalty that satisfies God, and he is that satisfactory payment. And so in a sense, that could be a summary statement for all people. We were all separated, but now in Jesus Christ, we who were far away from God have now been brought near to God through Jesus Christ, through his blood. You know, it's an amazing thing, and I was thinking back the other day when I was 19 years old, and if you would have said, are you far away from God? I would have said, no, I'm not. In fact, I'm trying real hard to get close to him. I didn't know I was dead. I didn't know I was dead in trespasses and sins. I didn't know I was separated from God. I didn't know that I had no hope. I had no hope. I didn't know that I was without God in the world. I thought I had God. I said, I talked to God. I say, God, I'm doing the best I can. I did a bad. I'm doing two goods. Is that okay? But you know what he could have said to me? You don't have me. You're without God. You're without hope. You're without Christ. You're without anything. But you can be brought near. You can come to me. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, that's the greatest thing, that we who were dead in our trespasses and sins, who walked across the prince of power of the air, we walked in the lust of our flesh in this world, we could be brought near to God. We could be brought back. That's what reconciliation is. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for our sins, the just for the unjust, to do what? To bring us to God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19 says, God reconciled us to himself through Christ. Namely, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Isn't that incredible? Wow. How did he do it? By sending his son into this world to die in our place, to pay for our sins, to die and rise again and offer, as we saw in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, that by grace you are saved, have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift. That's how we're reconciled. Now from this, he's going to talk about, he's just brought this idea of Gentiles, you were separated, but now God's brought you back. Now he's going to talk about Jews and Gentiles. Because one of the issues that a lot of people didn't understand, and they didn't grasp it at the very beginning of the church, is that Jews and Gentiles all go in this thing together. That the Jews were saved exactly the same way as the Gentiles, and that's all thing works. You remember at the very start of the church, some of these the Jewish people were wondering, what do we do with these Gentiles, these uncircumcision, because they don't connect with us. We're really God's people. We got the Messiah. And they were people like Peter and John, and they believed in the Messiah. They're saved. They're talking about, we're the body of Christ. What about these Gentiles? Well, the truth is, the Gentile and the Jew are in the same body. We're going to see it over in chapter 3 that the great mystery in the Old Testament was that God was going to take Jewish people, that's the great mystery that was not told in the Old Testament, told in the New, that God was going to take these Jews and these Gentiles, and as they believe in Christ, he's going to bring them together in one body, which is called the church. So, as we look around this world, the body of Christ is made up of Jews and Gentiles who believed in Christ. And so he's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about how God reconciled the Jew and the Gentile together. Now, what do you think was the main thing besides the fact of believing in Christ, because both Jew and Gentile still had to believe in Christ? What is the thing that separates as a dividing wall, as something that separates Jews and Gentiles? What was it? The law. Is that what you said, the law? That's exactly it. Because who got the law? Jews did. Moses went up on the mountain and came down with the top 10. Actually, it was the only 10. And then they broke them off when we got back down there. So he broke them, and then God said, come up, and I'm going to give you 613. Thanks a lot. Okay? That set them apart. Gentiles didn't have the law. You're not under the Mosaic law now. You never have been. You never will be. That's why so much confusion. There's some churches that believe that we live the Christian life under the Mosaic law. I got some information from a church the other day, and it talked about the rule of the Christian life is obeying the Mosaic law. That's what it said. Well, first of all, nobody's ever obeyed the Mosaic law, not even the Jews when they were under it. And second is, nowhere in the New Testament does it even say that we live our lives based off the Mosaic law. Nowhere. In fact, Christ is the end of the law to all who believe, Romans 6:14. So law is not our rule of life. Our rule of life is the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God is a walk of faith. Totally different. So watch, he's going to talk about bringing the two together. And as Jerry said, what's the thing that's going to divide them? It's the law. So what's he going to do? He's going to remove the law. Watch what he says. Verse 14, now he's going to talk about bringing Jew and Gentile together. He says, for he himself is our peace. Our peace who? Both Jews and Gentiles. Who made both groups into one. It, literally in the Greek it says, who made both one. Both who? Both Jew and Gentile one. And he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He says what he has done is he's made both of them into one group. Throughout history there's been Jews and Gentiles, and they're still Jews and Gentiles, but when you believe in Jesus Christ, he's made two into one. We don't go around saying we're Jews and Gentiles. We say we are the church, which is the body of Christ. And so he says he's made two into one, having broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Now that dividing wall is the law, because he goes on to say, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, that was the thing that separated them, what is it? Which is the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances. Let me stop there, because he goes on to say, so that himself he made the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. But what did he do? He abolished the law. How did he do it? Through his flesh. He died and paid the penalty of the law. The law says the soul that sins shall die. For any human being, whether Jew or Gentile, law says you can't keep it. You owe God death. So what did he do? He said, I'm going to remove this whole aspect of law so I can bring Jew and Gentile together into one body. If you know Jewish believers, They can biblically do anything they want. They can say, we're going to celebrate Passover. But they know they're not under the Mosaic law as a rule of life. They are not under that. We never have been under it. They're not under it. That has been removed so that as we come together as one body, Jew and Gentile, there is not a law that says, wait a minute. Now, are you Gentiles going to do the same thing as us Jews? There is no law. That's why at the very beginning of the church, if you remember, we're studying on Wednesday nights when Paul went and led the Galatians to Christ, Judaizers came in and said, you got to keep the law. Messed the whole thing up. Paul had to write him and say, no, you don't. If you remember in Acts chapter 15, at the very beginning of the church, the issue arose, do the Gentiles have to come under the Mosaic law in order to be saved? That was the issue. Paul's saying right here, no. Law is removed. And that's what they said in Acts chapter 15. They said, no, Jews and Gentiles. In fact, they said it this way, a little bit strange. Jews are saved in the same way as the Gentiles are. It didn't say Gentiles are saved in the same way Jews are. All come by faith. So he said, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so that what? So that in himself, that's in Christ, he would make the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man, thus establishing peace. Now, who is the one new man? What's it called? The church. It's the body of Christ. And, you know, Paul uses as illustration the fact that he's the head and we're the body of Christ, and some are hands and fingers and toes and all that, but it all comes under the body of Christ and all placed in Christ. And the bottom line is that God has removed that enmity through Jesus Christ's death on the cross, and he brings Jew and Gentile together into one body, which we call the church. And then, as we go through this last part, verses 16, 17, 18, now he's going to say he's reconciled Jew and Gentile together. They're no longer enemies. The law has been removed and they're all together. And he has brought both of those groups to himself through Christ, which makes the one group, which is we call the body of Christ. Notice verse 16. And he might reconcile them, Jew and Gentile, the body of Christ, both in one body, that's the body of Christ, to God. How? Through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. Because when Jesus paid for the whole law system and took care of all of that, he's brought Jew and Gentile together. And by faith, he brings people to himself. He might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross. Do not forget that the whole means that you can be reconciled to God is by Jesus Christ going to the cross, dying on the cross, paying for our sin, being buried and rising again. And by faith in him, he reconciles us. That's why I think one of the greatest passages in the Bible, and when we do my 2-2 class, we have one whole lesson on reconciliation. We just talk about that term, and we go through it, and we always look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, the greatest passage in the New Testament on reconciliation. If you want to, just write it down, and sometimes study it on your own, because it's an incredible passage. It talks about how God has brought us together in Christ, you know, not counting our trespasses against us, put them on Christ, giving us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, telling people how they can be reconciled to God. It's a fantastic passage. So he might reconcile them, Jew and Gentile, both in one body of the church to God through the cross by Jesus dying on the cross, having put together the enmity. And then he says this, and he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near. You know who the ones who were far away were? Gentiles. Those who were near? Jews. Now, he didn't say they were saved. He said the Gentile was separated. The Jew was closer because God had chosen him in that way. But they had to both get the message. He came and preached peace. How do we have peace with God? Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's the only way you can have peace with God is by faith. It's powerful. That he would reconcile, bring them all together, preached peace. And then finally, my favorite verse through this. For through him, through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access in one spirit to the Father. Both the Jew and the Gentile get brought together to Christ or to God through Christ, through the Father, through him. It is incredible. He said over and over in this passage, verse 14, the two became one man. Verse 15, one new man. Verse 16, one body. And then in verse 18, for we both, this one body, are brought together. We have access. How did it happen? Through Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, you know, Jesus died for us and he lost his life for us. And that's really not the way to put it. Let me tell you a story. I read this and it said this. It was in World War I. There was a soldier who was seriously wounded. His arm was so badly smashed that they had to amputate it. Surgeon was pretty upset about it, and as the boy was going to live and everything, but he was going to lose his arm, so he waited beside his bedside to tell him the bad news when he woke up. And when he gained consciousness, the surgeon said, son, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you've lost your arm. And he said, sir, I didn't lose my arm. I gave it for my country. I want you to understand, Jesus Christ did not lose his life. He gave his life to reconcile us to the Father. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, it was to come to do the will of the Father. It was to come to die in our place, to pay for our sins, so that he would reconcile us to himself through Jesus Christ, as he says. God has reconciled Jew and Gentile together. He has reconciled us both to himself through Christ. What a passage. You know, when you study the Bible like this, I mean, Ephesians is a hard book. I mean, there's some things that are pretty easy, and then there's some things that are pretty hard. This passage tonight has some complicated issues in it. How God took Jew and Gentile and brings them together, and then brings them both together through himself, and how the Gentiles were separate, and those were called near, and those were called far, and yet they all have to be reconciled to God through Christ. He's done it all. What have we seen? The Gentiles in the past were separated not only from God, but from the Jews. That God brought them together, brought him to himself by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has reconciled Jew and Gentile together into one body, which is the church. He has reconciled all of that to himself through Jesus Christ and through the cross. And so both Jews and Gentiles come to God through Christ and form the body of Christ, which is the church. It's powerful. And you should thank God. We should thank God every day that Jesus died for us and gives us eternal life, brings us to himself, and that we as believers, regardless of our backgrounds, we're all in one body. And we come in local bodies, of course, but we're in one body, which is the body of Christ. Let me give you two quick applications. The first one is understand God's plan of reconciliation. I would recommend that you would study 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, that you just take some time in your quiet times and in your Bible studies to say, I'm going to look at that passage because it is really the story of the Bible. Because the story of the Bible is reconciliation, and that is one of the great passages in the Bible on reconciliation. Understand how God took Jew and Gentile, brought them together, and brings all, both groups, Jew and Gentile, together into one body, which is the church, and all that is reconciled to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. When anyone believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, if they're Jewish or Gentile, it doesn't matter. They're placed in the body of Christ and brought into a relationship and are reconciled to God. I think it's the greatest thing. You know, you can talk to people and you can tell them that you can be brought into an eternal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Anybody you talk to, all they do is believe in Christ as Savior. It's not their works, it's not their righteousness, it's not their goodness. It's simply faith in Christ. Second application is understand the church. Understand what the church is. It's Jew and Gentile together in one body. When you look in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were Gentiles, then there were Jews and Gentiles, and now when you come up to the New Testament, there's Jews and Gentiles and the church of God. And the church of God is made up of Jew and Gentile who have believed in Jesus Christ. The wall of the barrier of the law has been broken apart, broken down, and those two come together in one body. And that's why 1 Thessalonians says, give no offense to the Jew, the Gentile, or to the church of God. May we live in harmony and unity as those who all have the same background, separated from God, without hope, without Christ, and yet He has brought us together. And we thank God for His plan of reconciliation, both Jew and Gentile, bringing them to one body, the church, to Himself. And may we make known this plan to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank You for the great truth that You have taken us, whether we're Jewish or Gentile, and You have brought us to Yourself through Jesus Christ. Lord, we are thankful that though we were hopeless and helpless and separated from You, through Your Son Jesus Christ, through the cross, how He died and rose again, You have given to us eternal life as a gift by faith, and You have brought us into one body, both Jews and Gentiles together, and reconciled us to Yourself through Christ. We have access to You. Thank You, Lord. May we tell people this great truth of God, of Your plan of reconciliation, and people would understand the church, the body of Christ. Lord, thank You for these truths. May we live them out, and may we share them with others. We ask this in Jesus' name.